When you think about the primary way that we connect with one another just in daily life, think about how central, how essential is the face-to-face contact for communicating with someone, for revealing to somebody what's going on the inside. Think about how much easier it is when you're able to connect with someone face-to-face and how we just kind of aim for that as the normal thing. There's a tremendous power in what the face reveals and how we are drawn to it. And we know really well what can happen when that visual is removed from the picture and you communicate. And all of us, I'm sure, have had those moments where you send off a text message to somebody and you know what you mean, you send it off, but without your face to give it any context, how easy it is at times for that text message to get completely misinterpreted because the person's receiving it doesn't have the benefit of seeing your face and knowing everything else that's going on around it. There's so much about us that comes out and is communicated through the face, and it's such a personal way of connecting with somebody else. When we don't want to have that connection with somebody, we can physically turn our face from them. I mean, you've experienced this. Maybe you've been out to dinner, and it's really crowded, and the waiter or the waitress doesn't want to have any time for your table. They deliberately don't even look at you, because if they look at you and they make eye contact, you might be able to grab them for something. We can avoid making that kind of contact when we don't want any connection. Maybe you've had times where you've gone through a great difficulty. There's a lot going on in your heart, and you've got to get up and go to work, or you've got to get up and go to school, and you say to yourself, I'm just going to put on a mask today, and I'm just going to go through the day. I'm not going to let anybody really know what's going on the inside. And you deliberately try to present a face that says one thing because you just know if I can keep that mask on, people maybe not, they won't even know any better at all. Our face communicates so much, and it tends to be the primary way that you and I want to communicate with one another. Here's the amazing thing. That is not a learned trait. Researchers who have done all kinds of research around newborns and infants have discovered that it's something that is already built into us. So there's a researcher who's at MIT in the Brain and Cognitive Sciences Research Institute. And in an article, he said this very simply, babies are hardwired to recognize faces. Hardwired. Like out of the womb, already locking in on the face. Building on that, some other researchers out at Stanford, their research says this, at as early as 4 months old, babies' brains already process faces at nearly adult levels. Now that's absolutely incredible. I mean, think about all of the growth and development that still needs to happen in that baby, but at 4 months old, that baby is processing faces at almost the level that they'll process a face as an adult. That's absolutely amazing. But all of that just confirms what we tend to know, which is there is something about the face and our desire to connect with another in a personal and intimate way. And that's built into us. So knowing that, it helps us to appreciate that much more the blessing that the Lord gives to Aaron and his sons who will serve with Aaron as priests. And he says to them, when you bless the people in my name, when you bless them, here's the blessing that I want you to pray over them. So this is from God's own heart. This is the desire of the Father's heart for us reflected in the blessing he teaches Aaron and his sons. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. That's God's blessing, that His face would shine out on us, that you and I would be able to connect with God Himself in that way where we are able to enjoy Him face to face. He wants that for us. So that blessing tells us that the Lord desires to be that close to us. He wants to reveal Himself in that kind of way. He wants to be that personal, that intimate with us. And this is beautiful news because we were made for that. We were not only made to connect face to face with one another, but we were made for that with the Lord. And here in that blessing, the Lord is simply saying, this is the blessing I want to give to you. What's awesome is that as Scripture unfolds, this is not just a nice promise, but the Lord is actually acting on it in such a way that He draws nearer and nearer and nearer to us, to the point that at Christmas, the Son of God takes on our flesh. God has a human face that can be looked upon. And as we celebrate the solemnity of the motherhood of Mary, we're thinking about Mary holding the child Jesus in her arms and being able to look at God face to face. The Lord wants that for us. Now, all of us, we were made for this so deeply that the great promise of heaven, the joy of heaven that Scripture says, here's the thing that will make you completely filled with happiness in heaven. Scripture says is this, that you will be able to look upon God face to face. And can you imagine that? I mean, the one that you've spent a lifetime with your heart opened up to and praying before, that with eyes wide open, with your own eyes, that you would be able to look upon God. Now, we don't know what He does in us to make that happen, but we know that this is this radical change that He works in us. Or I should say, for those that are with Him in heaven, He works a change in us such that we are able to look upon Him face to face, that direct, that personal. Now, that awaits us. But even now, the movement in Scripture that brought things to a place where Mary could look upon the face of Christ, even that, though, is opened up for us in this way, that we're meant to share in some of those same blessings of Christmas. The Lord did not want only to be close to Mary, but He wants to be close to us. So what does it look like for us? What is the primary way in our life right now that the Lord wants us to enjoy that kind of closeness with Him? Well, it comes mainly, primarily, through the gift of being able to sit before Him, kneel before Him, pray before Him in the Word made flesh, in the gift of the Eucharist. We are fed with that gift. That's the primary part of it. He gives Himself to us as food to feed on. But He also comes to us in the flesh so that you and I can be that close to Him in prayer. And so tonight, in light of that first reading and the blessing that the Lord gives, I just want to say to you very simply this encouragement. Don't miss out on the opportunity that God is giving you to be with Him face to face in prayer before Him in the Eucharist, and especially in Eucharistic adoration. Don't miss out on the blessings that are flowing out of that brand new chapel in the corner of the narthex. Don't miss out on the closeness that God wants to have with you there. Every year at New Year's, there's some chunk of you that make New Year's resolutions. And for many of you, spiritually, the resolution always tends to be, this year I really want to pray. I don't just want to talk about it. I really want to have a prayer life. And so I'm saying to you, He's ready to give that to you. He is ready to meet you face to face in time spent before Him in Eucharistic adoration. Over the months since we opened up the chapel, I've had a chance to hear back from some of our parishioners who are there regularly for prayer, some of the things that they've shared based on their time in prayer are beautiful. And I just want to share a couple of these with you to encourage you. One of our parishioners emailed me and said this, very simply, "Adoration changes me. I'm a different person compared to who I was." A change taking place. Simply sitting before him in his presence, he's at work. And as Father John, I have mentioned to you many times, spiritually, that's the same thing that happens as it is when you simply go out into the sun in the middle of the summer. If you put yourself into the presence of the sun, the rays of the sun are going to work on you and you'll end up tan. It's just what happens. Spiritually, the same thing occurs. But this one parishioner mentions that I'm a different person compared to who I was. Another parishioner wrote this. She said, "I'm a full proponent of being able to pray anywhere, at your desk at work, in your bedroom, in the car. But knowing that in a 10-minute drive, I can be sitting face to face with Jesus in the Eucharist, that changes the way the world feels around me." What a beautiful thing that daily life is changed because she knows that in a 10-minute drive from home, she can be sitting face to face with the Lord, that he's that near. Another parishioner wrote, "No matter how tired, distracted, or upset I am when I come to adoration, I always leave with a greater sense of peace than when I arrived." These are the blessings that flow from being in his presence. And he wants that for you. Now, this is an amazing thing. And we would never have any business at all believing that the Lord Jesus is this close to us, that he is changing bread and wine into his own body and blood. We would have no business believing such an incredible and radical and even really kind of crazy thing, except for the fact that he told us that's what he's doing. It's because of him that we believe it. We didn't make this up, kind of a projection of our desire for God to be close. He told us, "Amen, amen, I say to you, my flesh is real food, my blood real drink." It's John chapter 6. And at the Last Supper, "This is my body that will be given up for you." So not an abstract thing, but my body that will be given up for you, my blood that will be shed for you. It's the craziest thing that we believe as Catholics. We believe it only because he spoke it. Now, did you know his presence in the Eucharist is as full and real and complete as he was present in the arms of Mary? Raised from the dead, resurrected, he makes himself present to us, and there's not a bit of him that's missing in the Eucharist that was present there in Bethlehem in the manger. As fully, completely, really present to us. So when you sit before him in the Eucharist, the outward form is different, yes, and it requires faith. Really the same faith that was required when Mary held him and believed, "This is the Son of God." Faith is always at work. The outward form is different, but he is as really fully present to us in the Eucharist as he was in that manger to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. Why? Because he wants you to be able to enjoy that close of a connection, to gaze upon him and to see him with your own eyes. Now, I know that there are many of you that are a little bit intimidated by the thought of going and spending time in the chapel. What do I do? What do I say? How do I pray? So for the last few months, we've had in the chapel, in each of the pews, a number of copies of these books to help give you a little bit of a start in prayer. One is a book of meditations, short, brief meditations, 30 of them, by St. Alphonsus. In this little book, he's just offering you a little bit of a kickstart for what to say to the Lord, what to think about and pray about when you're in his presence. The other book is called 21 Ways to Worship, a Guide to Eucharistic Adoration. 21 very short little 2 to 3 page chapters that teach you how to pray when you're there before the Lord in the Eucharist. These are in there, and they're in there specifically because I don't want you to be intimidated or afraid to go into that chapel and spend time with him thinking that you've got to figure out what to do. These are there all the time in order to help lead you into prayer, again, to be a little bit of a kickstart for it. So, hardwired into us is that desire to connect with others face to face. And it's most deeply built into us to connect with God in that way. He wants that for you. So my prayer as we begin this new year is that we would take the Lord up on that offer to be with him in that intimate, that close, that personal of a way, and be able with our own eyes to look upon God, the Word made flesh, who out of love comes to us and makes his choice to dwell among us.